begin. We're on page 350. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvaroi.
Amen.
Ki avoni agid. Okay, we're up to pasuk yitess. Do you hear me? Oh, do we got a problem over here? Rav Kalman, do you hear me?
Very clear.
You hear me good, okay?
Yes.
Okay, Rav Lazer, you hear me good, okay? Good, okay. Can we hear you also? Yes, I hear you. We hear you well.
Loud.
Yesterday, I spent a little time on this, and we patched it around. We got it to work yesterday. Hopefully, it won't break. We got it to work. Okay. Lamat. So over here, page 250. Ki avoni agid edag mechatosi. Page 350. Ki avoni agid edag mechatosi. My sin, I reveal my sin and I worry mechatosi. Okay, David, this is the continuation of the same theme again and again. David over here repeats himself many, many times. You know, if only we knew the nuances of why he repeats himself so many times. David over here is confessing my sins. Pasuk chafi oivai chai. Now this is a good pasuk. This is something you need. It's always geschmack when you have mom something fresh. A fresh bagel, something that's not repetition. Okay, against pasuk yutes, you know, it says ki avoni agid edag mechatosi. Okay, you know, I can read the words and we translate it, and in the context it means what it means. But basically, we've heard this already 1,000 times. It's just another way of spinning it. Okay, I don't want to be nappy kores. You know, the chas v'shalom. Everything obviously has very depth and great meaning in its context, but sometimes it's hard for us to appreciate, to see the significance of the repetition. But when you get something that you know is new material, you discover a new planet in the galaxy. Okay, that's a whole different whole thing. So this over here is something fresh. This thing called the Oyevai, my enemies, Chayim Otseimu. That is something, the enemies. My enemies, the oivai, our enemies, my sin. Right, Pashab Shah David, when he says the ki avoini agid, I will confess. I will confess my sins. Vidui edag mechatasi. Look, we talk about this old pasuk also forever. You know, there's a very big topic. The word agid has a connotation that David's going to get up and make a public announcement in front of the entire world. I want to tell everyone every single sin I ever did my whole life. I want to tell everyone all of my sins. Is that correct? Is that the proper thing for a person to go in? Not necessarily. The Gemara says that if people don't know about a sin, if they don't, the Gemara's maskan is Ashrei Nisui Fesha, which Chazal mean, if people don't know about your sins, don't hang up your dirty laundry for everyone to see. If you're under attack and you've been caught, then you should confess. Okay, it's not a virtue for a person to get up in front of, you know, for a rabbi to get up and say es avoina, es avoinim, es chatoai ani maskir hayoim. Let me tell you, when I was a kid, I went to this movie, I went to that movie, I burnt down this, I killed this one. That's not what a rav does. You don't go say. I give you a marshal. Once there's a rabbi, he gives Musa. So he says, this is very common. The rabbi says, you know, who am I to give you Musa? I'm talking to myself. And if you want, all of you can just listen to what I say to myself. Then there's a rabbi. He says, Rabbi Isai, I'm not going to get up here today and give you the traditional introduction that I don't, who am I to give you Musa? I'm going to talk to myself. Rabbi Isai, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You people here are a bunch of Rishoim. Okay? A whole different approach. I'm talking to you, but I want to let you know. So there's a time when a person should confess his own sins, and there's a time when a person should not confess his own sins. So there's a lot to be discussed here in Pasuk Yutes, where David over here says, Es avoni agid. The word agid is like the Haggadah, this week's parasha. He got it hayoim. I declare today. Ki garati hayom ki bossi eloretz. Okay, in the Haggadah, garati hayom means I want to give a dissertation. I want to give a long, long speech. Ki garati hayom. Over here, it is a new concept which we have to come back to in one moment. Ki avoni agid. I'm not just going to confess in one sentence. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to give a two-hour speech telling you all the gory details of my sin. I'm not just going to say, okay, I plead guilty and sit down. No, agid. Let me tell you all the secrets that you don't know. Let me tell you how much I sinned. The word agid is an expression which means a lengthy discussion, a kind of, you ask me questions. After I tell you what I did, we'll have a Q&A session where you can ask questions and I'll tell you more details about my sin. Isn't that what it says over here?
That's what David did by Baruch David as Hashem le'inei kol ha'ol. I mean,
that's a bracha. Yeah, that's a bracha. But not sins. Okay, but who says you want to go? Who says when it comes to an eros, you want to go? You want to mamish go do it? It's an extreme. Okay,
we'll come tomorrow about saying yeah, you know, what do you call it?
Okay, we'll come back. We'll come back to that. Pasuk chav yoyvai. Agid and edak. Very good. You have the same syllables, the letters. Agid and edag are very similar. The ag is similar to right. There's a play on the words, a play on the line. Loshon noifel al haloshon. There is a degree of right poetry and expression, a complex koyach. The word to worry. Also, edag mechatasi. I'm worried. Okay, I'm worried. Hardly. You think Trump is worried? You think he's worried? He said yesterday. I shocked what he said yesterday. What he said yesterday in the news, all over the news. He says, even if I'm indicted, I can still be the president. So what does that mean? That means he was going to run.
He was indicted as president.
All right, let's go weiter. Ki avoni agid ed ag mechatosi v'oyvai chayim otseimu. Okay, so this is what I wanted to do. This is a very important expression. This is something new. We never came across such an expression. My enemies chayim otseimu. What does that mean? That's a very hard translation. If we go now out to Avenue M and we stop every living creature and we ask them what this means, I don't think we're going to do too well. Okay, so let's see what it says over here. I'll read all the psukim, and we'll come back. But just for the moment, it means mighty. The word otseim is might. And look at the mitzudot tzion otseim inyan ribui kimoi otsmu li al minoisav. Okay, in this context, it means mighty. It's very, very mighty. Okay, we'll come back to this in a few moments. I just want to get the idea. My enemies. Now, how do you, when you take the word chayim and you connect it to the word otseimu, it doesn't go well. It doesn't go off well. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, chayim otseimu, ma'atzimim chayim b'sholom uvitoiva. Rashi learns, my enemies, are extremely successful.
I would say, in the prime of life.
In the prime of life. Look at the Mitzudos David. Chayim Otseimu. Okay, this is Pasuk Chof. It doesn't even say, it's interesting how in the Mitzudos David skips. In the Mitzudos Sion, he translates it to mean Ribui. Rashi, in the context, not everyone agrees with this. Anything that's very vague, obviously you can have a very broad spectrum of what it means. And Rashi learns that David is saying that my enemies, it's not, they have wonderful lives. They're extremely successful. They have money, they have health, they have children, and they have peace. Ma'atzimim chayim b'sholom uvitoiva. They have a mighty existence in this world with peace and with goodness and blessing. Wow. You don't get that impression in the Torah. You say that rishoyim, it's good for them, it's good for wicked people in this world. The wicked people, they prosper, they do well. But you don't ever have such an expression where wicked people, they mamish, they live it up. Because, you know, you look today in this world, you look at wicked people. You study the history of wicked people. Yeah, it's true. They have money. They have power, they have success. But the more you study wicked people, the more you discover they're not happy people. They are tormented. And they're very insecure. Like Saddam Hussein, who's a miserable person. Okay, so Saddam Hussein, he ruled over a country with an iron fist. What did he not have? What delicacy in this world was lacking to him? Yet he had a miserable life.
Peace and security. He was always on the run.
Always on the run, always paranoid. Someone's going to kill him every second of the day. Paranoid. That's really the word. Hitler, yimach shmo v'zichro. Hitler. He was a mashugan. I mean, he was a paranoid, crazy person, a mad person. Always angry, always, 24-7. Angry. And always paranoid. Also, always thought they're going to kill him. Every second they thought someone's going to kill him. So these wicked people, you know, this is a tremendous chiddush. That people, you go look at people like the politicians in this country who seem always to be so happy. Every second they're worried about the vote.
Angry, and they keep stoking it. I always wondered how they could keep up that anger for years.
So this is a chiddush. This pasuk to me is really an incredible chiddush. The way Rashi learns that there are wicked people in this world that just, it's not just they have good lives. There's no question. You can show me, you see in our own time, wicked people, and they're very successful. They don't have any daigus. But to say that wicked people have this expression, chayim otseimu, that they're living it up to such a degree?
Well, at least they appear to be.
Wicked people, it's true. Okay, they have a good life.
From the outside observer, that would be the case.
No, but really, to such a, ad kedei kach, to say such a nusach, otseimu, chayim otseimu, ma'atzimim. That's a powerful word.
Okay.
Mighty chayim, ma'atzimim chayim, bishalom uvitoiva. Four words which together mean...
They do have the upper hand, right?
They have the upper hand. So what? That's not a chiddush. Hitler killed 6 million Jews. He had the upper hand. So what? It's a very powerful expression which to me is shocking. Okay, that's right.
Is he stating fact or is he stating his observation?
I don't know.
That's his perception.
Mitsudas David didn't even want to translate this. Which is very unique. Something so unique that the Mitsudas David would shy away from giving us a translation? Very surprised. Okay, the Mitsudas Sion, he translates the word. All he does is translates the word. This is a little surprising in the Mitsudas David to completely ignore this. Totally, and Rashi says four words, which, what does it mean? Okay, let's go read it, and we're going to come back to all this. Okay, fine. Let's go next part, positive, which means they have a wonderful life. V'rabu soinai shoker. And many are the enemies of falsehood. Okay, let's read the Mitzudas David. What?
The enemies who?
Promote.
Who?
Enemies who's...
Look at Rashi,
V'rabu, V'higdilu soinai al divar shoker. Okay, so they my enemies who have risen up. Is that the right word?
They hate me because of false words have become magnified.
They are successful. Their platform, the foundation of their success is built on a false, on sheker. Sheker.
And my enemies increased the sheker.
This is not what Rashi says. He's saying a nice pshat, and a chanami. He's saying a pshat. But Rashi is saying it's al-divar sheker. Their success is built upon a foundation of sheker.
Right.
I once went to a svarim store.
And they
became great. The foundation... So I once went to a svarim store, and the person there in the svarim store, he told me, he's a certain sefer, and I was familiar with the person, the sefer, and the moicher, he didn't like the sefer. This moicher is a variant. He knows everything about svarim. He says, this sefer, he says, I spent time studying it. He says he has this beautiful, beautiful pilpulim. He builds this beautiful, whole magnificent drushes on a yesoid, on a foundation that's nonsense. Basically, this person, he makes up a medrash that no one ever heard of before. He makes up things he never heard before. And that's the yisoid. Oh, and on that, he builds this whole...
Or it's the
Mechasarim told me this.
What do the people in the front with the Haskamas
say? I don't remember. I don't remember what it says there. And like I say, you know, you're right, Taka, right. He hit the nail on the head. You have a yisoid, and on that yisoid, you build your whole agenda. Well, let's say I'm not talking. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm not talking about. Let's say Louis, somewhere in a third world country, someone steals an election. They steal an election. And after they steal the election, they go and they promote their agenda. Their whole agenda is built on a lie. The people don't want you. The people don't want you. You were not selected. You were not elected. So everything is sheker, al devar sheker. And then once they're in office, they do whatever they want. So that's what David is saying. David over here is saying, I have enemies. The enemies, the foundation, the membership into the club of people who hate me is all based on a lie. They all believe that I did something. I did a terrible Avera. And because they believe I did this terrible Avera, that's why they've all come together to try to take me down. If they would know, and they would know the truth that I did not do this Avera, then they would not have joined this club. Then they would not come and do what they're doing. That's how the Rashi is learning Pshat in the Pasuk. My oivai chayim otzim, they have wonderful lives. Verabu soin ai kama, and my enemies are extremely successful, but their foundation of how they got there and what they base their agenda on is shoker. So this is ridiculous. These are wicked people. They create a lie, and through that lie, they come together and they make trouble, and they have wonderful lives, and who suffers? I suffer. You can say this about Christianity and about Islam. It's all based on a lie. All based on a lie. The Son of God? Come on. The Son of God? You're the Son. What's going on over here? Mohammed. Mohammed, really? God appeared? He didn't even know how to read and write. He was illiterate. And today there are a billion people who identify with Islam, and a billion people in this world who identify with Christianity. Are you talking? It's a religion that's built on a lie. Everything is a lie. And from that, people come together, and their goal is the infidels and the Jews who have to be anti-Semitism. They've come together to go and they do very well. There are a billion people. There aren't a billion Jews. There are only 15 million Jews in this world. Maybe. And what? Maybe. 15 million Jews. And there are a billion Christians? A billion people who identify on a form. They'll check the box. I'm a Christian. Or they'll check the billion people. Check, I identify with Islam. How are you talking? And the whole religion is based on a lie? Based on a lie? And these people, these countries, they're countries, and they do pretty good. They do pretty good. That is what David over here is saying. They live good lives. My enemies, they multiply, they increase, they're successful, and it's all built on a foundation that is shoker. Rashi is adding words into the pasuk. If not for Rashi, we'd never know what this pasuk means. Rashi, and also it's spooky, is that who says this really is Rashi? I don't know. I never figured this out. That in the art school, what are these? The less than sign and the greater than sign. What are they doing over here? Ordinarily, when you want to insert something from insert, you have the brackets, the square brackets. For some reason over here, they chose not to use the square brackets. They use these symbols. There must be a reason, which I think means it's suspect that this, what we put into Rashi himself did not write this. It does not appear in all of the manuscripts, in all of the ancient manuscripts. It does not appear. It appears in some manuscripts, which leads us to suspect that this was added by an editor who wanted just to embellish the words of Rashi. That is usually when you have these type of things, it means that there's a discrepancy. And that, yeah, it's right. That's right. There's a discrepancy. See, we don't realize how spoiled we are. We're holding in our hands this spectacular, gorgeous edition that the world has never seen of Tehillim, with every single thing, all these mefarshim, new ones, old ones, nikud mole. But you know, you go back 100, not even so long ago, 100 years, you'd go and you'd find a Tehillim, you couldn't even read the Rashis. You can barely read the letter, the Mesoira, even the Nikudois of the Psukim themselves, even the Psukim. In Golis, in 2,000 years of Golis, there wasn't much. And whatever there was, it was just holding on by a thread. You would find a manuscript, and half it would be missing. You have to find another manuscript, put the two together, and pages worn out, and this was worn out. Today we think we look at this sefer and we think, oh, whatever we see in front of us existed in perfect condition for 2,000 years. It's no such thing, no such thing. It's a miracle of miracles that we have what we have today. But this that we have in front of us, a lot of it has been reconstructed. And because it's been reconstructed, there are a lot of disagreements. What exactly is the Nikudos, the Mesoira? What exactly is the real version of Rashi? Which Rashis? The people, like students, they just, you know, for their own notes, personal notes, they added a couple of words into the Rashi. And lo and behold, a generation later, it's Kodesh Kodoshim, Shtein Rashi. Rashi would come here today, he would say, I didn't write this. Who wrote this? Who added these words? Who manipulated my words? Okay, so that's that you have that, like, even the Targum. How many times did we learn Targum? There are different versions of Targum Onkelos, and the different versions of Targum Onkelos make a world of a difference in interpretation. I had a friend many years ago. I haven't seen him in a very long time. He was obsessed with Targum. It's amazing. You find people today. You can't even find these people. He would every Shabbos with Shnayim Mikov Yechot Targum, and he knew Targum, and he was not a fan of art scroll. You know, there are people like that. Okay, maybe one day they'll do teshuva. He wasn't a very big fan of art scroll. He wasn't, whatever. You know, there are certain types of people, they don't like art scroll. And then, it's probably 20 years ago, this came out. The Chumash, the art scroll Chumash. Hebrew only Chumash. And he picked it up, and he went through it, and he said to me, he's doing teshuva. He says, there's no edition that he knows of in the world that has Onkelos, correct, authentic, worked over like what Art Scroll did in their Hebrew only Chumash that they did better than all the Mikros Gedolos. He says, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. They really did a job here. They were extremely careful and many placed. In fact, they have the different. They have both. They have the Shin Nuschois, and he says, whoever did this knew what they were doing. Really knew what they were doing, and they won him over. They won him over. So it just goes to show that there are so many shinuyim. You have over here Rashi like this. He's saying a tremendous chiddush. He's saying al devar shoker. By the way, I'll tell you one thing that they wrote up when they did this. And the tachets, I checked this tachet true. It's very interesting about the Art Scroll Hebrew only chumash, the regular shul chumash. It is the only chumash in the world. This is tachet true. It's very, very funny that the first word on the page of Targum is the top word on the page. On this page, 145 in Parash Vayechi, it says the Al Tzidon, the Onkelos Al Tzidon. The last words on the page, Bein Poros Yosef, Bri De Yiskei Yosef. In every Hebrew, every Shul Chumash, they can't do it. As much as they tried with computers and all their techniques to put the first word of, it doesn't make a difference, who cares, right? Just kunz. Yeah. To put the first word of Targum to match the first word on the Pasuk, all of the publishers have tried, and they can't do it. They can't do it with computers, with editorial skills. It just doesn't fit. It just doesn't, or every single page. Right. And then when they... That's what they said. That was when they wrote it. When this Chumash came out, it was a big deal. We take it for granted. We don't take it for granted.
When typesetting with the computer,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't go.
Even with computers, and they figured out how to do it. They spent probably a hoin raf and brought in some really good computer programmers and some editors and played some games, and they were able, I remember they put this out 20 years ago, when they wrote up, what is the chiddush of the Echad HaChomesh? Okay, on the first page, you'll read all the chiddushim. But let us tell you the secrets that we're not going to tell you about the Chomesh. And that is, we were able to do something no one ever did before in the history of the world, to put the Targum of Shul Chomesh. The Targum of the first word matches the first word. Who cares? What difference does it make? It doesn't make any difference. Who cares? It's cute. It's a cute technique that they spend money on. All right, we're getting sidetracked. Let's go back to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, "Umshalmi." Now we come to this Pasuk of Aleph. Pasuk of Aleph says, this is the very famous Musa. And in English, it means no good deed goes unpunished. Okay, no good deed. So who said that? Who said it first? Where does it come from? It comes from David HaMelech. Umeshalmei ro'o tachas toiva. These people, they pay me back evil. Tachas toiva. It's interesting that this is the toicha of this week. Tachas asher lo yavadeta es Hashem b'simchu v'tuv leivav meiroiv kol. When it says the word tachas is a scary word. Tachas. Every time it says the word tachas in Tanakh, you got to stop and pause. There are certain words that trigger emotion, or trigger. You know, there's the word Ella, the word Kloimar, Ritzon Loimar, and when it says the word tachas, wait a minute. Whenever you get the word tachas, we have a dafyom yeshir at night, and that we learn that dafyom, we have some jokes. The joke is whenever the Gemara brings a maisa. Maisa, there's someone in the shir that has to sponsor a kiddush. Whenever it says the word kloimar in Rashi, someone has sponsored. Whenever it says the word Ella, I sponsor a tiny sibur. So here we have another word, the word tachas. Tachas. Tachas is the scary word. And it has to be understood. We have the word tachas, this week's parasha, in the Haftorah and in the parasha. In the parasha, tachas. Asher is the scariest pasuk in the whole Torah. Tachas Asher lo yavadtas Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvituv levav meroiv kol. The reason why the Torah comes is because you did not serve Hashem with simcha and with a good heart at a time when you had everything. You were spoiled rotten and you did not appreciate what you had. There's a very great complaint against the person as how he can come to that. Okay, so we have over here umeshalmeiro. Over here he says this, the word umeshalmeiro, and then the haftira tachas hanechoshes avi zohov, the tachas habarzel. This many times the tachas habarzel avi kesef, the tachas huavonim avi barzel, tachas hoeitz. I don't remember all the psukim, but you have the word tachas in the haftarah multiple times. Hadas. Okay, the word tachas is a very important word in Tanakh. And here we have, we're here in
Dutch. It means that it's a very definitive word. This is why something happened.
Well, it depends where.
Oh. It means, listen, this is the reason it happened. I'm telling you for a fact.
You have to study the word. This word is a word that's worthy of study. To analyze every time it says the word in the Tanakh, it says the word tachas, and what it means in its context, and what it means, you know, try to identify. It's a powerful word. So a word like, you know, the Torah. You know, there are things in English and with computers they put in bold. You know, you have the fonts, heading one, heading two, heading three. You know, paragraph. You know, on a word processor, and you know, you have all the different types of. Styles of fonts, all caps, and you have small caps, lowercase. You know, there are many different ways to impress upon a person in today, in the modern world, in English, when you type, to draw emphasis, and bold, italics, super bold, certain fonts, they come with like literally 10 fonts, different strong, bold, header one, they're different. There's slight variations. The Torah doesn't have any of this. There's no such thing. In the Torah, you have some big letters. Good, you make a good point. There are some big letters, oisiois gedolos, but and small letters. But besides the oisiois gedolos and katanois, upside down nuns. Okay, very good. Upside down nuns. You have parsha psuch and stuma. Okay, so you have different types of parshios, psuches and stumas. You have nekudos. There are a handful of times in the Torah where you have dats. You have dats. Ayei sorei ishtecha. Okay, the brothers of Yosef, they went lirois esoin avihen, and it's dotted there. They went to feed themselves. So you have dats, big letters, small letters, spacing sometimes, some esh dos lamoi. Sometimes you have spacing issues. Sometimes you have n letters. Lamarbe hamisra. That the mem of lamarbe is spelled with an end mem. So the Torah has its own technique. Just like Lahavdil today in the modern world, when you in word processing, there are techniques how to emphasize this is important. It is underlined. Okay, there's something called an underline. There's no such thing as an underline in the Torah. It doesn't exist. In the modern world, there's different size fonts, bold, different spacing techniques, you a blank line, a paragraph, indentation, the list goes on and on. All of this is to impress upon the mind of the reader, stop, there's something over here that is different, important, and it demands that you pay closer attention. The Torah has its techniques. They're not as elaborate, okay, and they're not as common, the things that we've mentioned, but one of the main techniques of the Torah is an actual word. To use a word, a certain words are trigger words, which would be equivalent in English of the modern world of putting it in bold, italics, underline, uppercase, all caps, small caps, to make an impression. And the word tachas is one of those words. The word tachas in the Torah is a word which is the Torah's way of saying this word is this concept should be in bold, all caps. Underlined, v'chul v'chul. Now, people who are new to texting or new to email, they get burnt. Take someone, you know, who's still living, you know, from the time of the Flintstones, and you give them, like, give them a smartphone, and you teach them how to text. And what do they inevitably do? They eventually send an email in all caps, or they send a text in all caps, right? In all caps. And what does it really mean when you do that? What's the convention? If you write a text in all caps, it means you're shouting on the top of your lungs.
Yeah.
That's isn't that the way we all look at it?
Right.
But you're screaming like I'm gonna show you that in all caps. But these are the most edel people. Some people who do this, they're so edel. I once saw someone. I don't even know how to turn on the phone. What do you want from me? My children gave me the phone. They told me I must have it so they can communicate with me at any for an emergency. I don't even know how to turn it on. I turn it on. They taught me how to text. So what do I know? I go and I type hello in all caps. What do you want from me? So you have to teach them, okay? There's a convention of how you do things. And it takes time to learn. It takes time to learn. So here it's tachas, again, is emphasizing this is a very powerful word. Umeshalmei ro'o tachas toiva. My enemies, they pay me back with evil. They repay. No good deed goes unpunished. Yistinuni tachas, he repeats the word tachas. Yistinuni tachas rodfi toiv. They hate me. In place of me, I who pursue. Okay, the word yistinuni is a deeper. Than was according to the goodness, corresponding to the goodness is the hate. The word umeshalem, it's not such an intense word because the good is just toiva. But when I am a rotfi toiv, a person who pursues an essence of good, ah zelu umazeh, they don't just pay me back evil. They hate me with an intensity like no one has ever seen. Very good, interest, very good. Pasuk habeis al tazveni Hashem Elokai, do not abandon me. Tachas toiva, right. So this concept needs to really be understood much, much more. Okay, well, let's see over here first. Now we come over here to the we're running out of time over here. Al tazveni, do not Hashem, do not abandon me. Do not distance yourself from me. Two expressions. Do not abandon me and do not, the two different concepts. Do not abandon me, which means entirely. And then sometimes, don't give me the cold, don't give me the silent treatment. Hashem does not always abandon a person, but sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he just doesn't respond. He's silent. Do not distance yourself from me. The last pasuk of Gimel, this is a very beautiful expression as well. Chusha le'ezrasi Hashem. Chusha le'ezrasi, kama, swift. The word chusha means swift, salvation. Be there for me. Come quickly to save me. Hashem, Tishua, so you are the source of my salvation. Let's read the Mitzudas of these few psukim with the Pasuk Yutes. Mitzudas of Yutes, Ki Avoni Agid, Ani Ba'atzmi, Agid Avoni, I confess. We mentioned in the beginning of the Shir, the word Agid means a dissertation. Hagoda, like this week's parasha. He Gadati Hayom Lashem Lashem. I make a declaration, a long declaration. Ki yode ani ba'atzmi shechotas, you know that I've sinned, v'loze edag, and I worry. Pen yovei ho'inesh v'yismuchu olai. It's really a continuation of the previous pasuk from yesterday. Pasuk hov, oivai, avol oivai. Yimei chayehem rabu v'godlu. My enemies have a wonderful life. He does say, I didn't realize he does translate it. My enemies, I have daigus. I live a whole life worrying, what's going to be? I have done averos, I have charata, Hashem's going to strike me down, what's going to be in the next world with my neshama? My enemies, they don't have any conscience. They don't have a soul. Avul oivai, yimei chayehem, the days of their lives, rabu, increase, v'godlu, and the two different expressions of increase. Pasuk of Mishalmei, gam heim yimei chayim rabu v'galu, ke umishalmei, gam heim yimei chayim, the days of their lives, rabu v'galu, what does it mean of umishalmei, umishalmei ro'o, I don't know what he means, I do not know what he means by that. Let's read the next words, tachas, b'mkoyim shani roideh v'zodis lehetiv imohem. In the place of I pursuing to be good to them, they only have one thing in mind, umishalmei ro'o tachas toivo. They pay me back raw in place of the good that I try to do to them. Okay, we said before. Okay. Next, Al Tazveni Hoyel Veloy Uchal Ba'atzmi L'Hashiv Ma'Lohem, because I cannot, I am unable to punish them. There's nothing I can do. I'm a victim. Okay, it's a very defeatist attitude. There are times in life when people are victims and powerless to reply, and therefore in these situations the only thing that you can do is to turn to Hashem. To turn to Hashem, l'chein al tazveni at Hashem, do not abandon me, v'sechoshev l'shuvah ad la'agom, and it will be considered a teshuvah al on their mockery. My enemies are mocking me, I am in a situation where there's nothing I can do, I turn to you, and I hope that you will help me. Pasuk of Gimel, Chusha, swift, hasten the Gula. Maher, lezor li, ki atob yelob li yishud. Always, now this is the theme that the Mitzudas does very often. This is his approach. This is not the approach of many of the Mepharshim that we learn. He reads many of the Psukim in Tehillim where David says, I will draw a lesson from past experience. Just like I look back in my life and I take note and I remember there was a similar incident and at that time you came to my rescue, that is a source of inspiration that now in this difficult situation, again, history will repeat itself, you will assist me once again. The Mitzudas is really the only one who does this. All the other Mepharshim, they don't do this. They just, it's a statement of fact, Hashem, help me, and then whenever it says in the Pasuk, or Rav Shulman, good morning, good Shabbos, Shulman. And Mitzudas does this. He reads the psukim in such a way where David is always looking back at past. That's a very powerful lesson. Do we do that in life? I don't know. Do we remember? Do we have a seder hayom? I'm looking at have a diary. Okay, is it a good thing to have a diary? It takes a lot of time. It's yourself. It's and I want, you know, they have incredible apps. It's unbelievable. They're apps that you can download and put on your phone to have a diary. Oh, right. Diary. Incredible stuff. And the technology what they have, also they can track you. And I once tried. It's an amazing experience. It is an amazing, you know, you, when we were kids, they used to, you read these stories, they have diaries and diaries, you know, the people were, all these famous people, whatever. It's an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing to have a diary and to record what happens every day and then to look back. And the lessons are unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, Google is very spooky. I don't know if you have this experience. Google, if you take pictures, a lot of pictures, and you turn on your settings, Google, on their own, who asked them? I don't know who asked them. They send you a message. 1 year ago, do you remember? You remember you took these pictures a year ago.
Facebook does that.
They tell you happy birthday, Facebook, right? Happy birthday.
No, not just that. You know, something that 1 year ago.
They'll tell you 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Who asked you to show me these pictures? And they show you, do you remember? 5 years ago, you took these pictures at this event.
Let's say the pictures you took.
And they select.
So I get, it tells me where I've been.
Right, yeah.
It shows me a picture of the restaurant that I was at.
And so it brings back memories.
Was it kosher?
It brings back memories. It is a powerful limud hamusar. You play with your mind. Even a small little memory can trigger a whole thought process in a person's mind. A person's mind is very delicate. The koyach of writing a diary is unbelievable. A person on his own, when the day is over, have the koyach and the presence of mind to write down in a diary a couple of lines. What happened today? What important event happened today? It changes your whole life. Because the whole day, you're thinking, what am I going to write tonight? What did I accomplish today? I got to accomplish something. I don't want to be embarrassed tonight when I sit down at 12 o'clock before I go to sleep and write down a few lines and they write what I did today. I have nothing to write. I just did Averis today. All I did was I got into a fight. I did this bad thing and that bad thing. Maybe you should talk and write that. Maybe that's a good idea to write down.
Record what they did.
A diary. Exactly, a diary. And then... it's an incredible experience. And today with technology, especially if you have a smartphone with technology, it is so easy. It is so easy. You do have to write. You have to set it up. You have to. It conditions you throughout the entire day to live a different life. There's a din v'cheshbon. You prepare yourself every single night. It's incredible. And then you go back and you read. You read your diary from 5 years ago, 3 years ago. It's like really, really a game changer. It's a game changer. It's unbelievable experience. Halavai, we can do this. So David over here, Mitzudas David, he must have had a diary. It must be. I'm willing to bet that the Mitzudas David had a personal diary. Because whatever a person does in his own life, he attempts to superimpose upon other people, subconsciously. And if the Mitzudas David continuously does this, he reads the Psukim, where David says, Hashem, help me. I have confidence that you're going to help me, because in the past you've helped me. What do you mean in the past? Who remembers the past? You remember what you ate for supper last night? You remember what happened 10 years ago? That you had a difficult situation, and you were in a lot of trouble, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu miraculously couldn't pay the bills, and somehow, I don't know, how'd you get through? How'd you get through? How'd you make it? How do you remember? Well, if you have a diary, and you write it down, and you review every... So wow, look at that. The government, he didn't have one. The government has one. The Sefer has Zichronis. Every government has this. The Sefer has Zichronis. Jewish king, every king. The Chosam Yad, everything that you do, every single thing that a person does, is you writing your own diary. And I'm suggesting over here that the Mitzudos David, the fact that he always, this is a powerful lesson that you don't see in the other Mefarshim, okay, you don't see Rashi doing this, you don't see other Rishonim doing this, is he reads Psukim where David has a difficulty, he refers to his diary, Hashem, 10 years ago I had a similar situation, you got me through, therefore I'm calm, he'll get me through this as well. It's incredible. And look at the last words of the Mitzvah, this is Chusha. Chusha, where I lost the place over here, Amarti, I said.
Many times why he's giving, a shot in a pasuk is based on his life experience.
Right, exactly. Look at the last words, Chusha, Pasuk Chav Gimel in the Mitzvah, this on page 351, Chusha, Maher le'azor li ki, Atame Yoylam li Yeshua. When it says here the word Hashem Tishu Osi means Hashem, I checked my diary. I had a situation like this 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I didn't know what I was going to do then, and you saved me. And then I checked my diary, I found the same 3 years ago, 4 years ago. You always came through for me. So you know something? I'm relaxed. It's going to enhance my emuna. My hair le'ezarli. Ki ata me'olam li Yeshua. You always help me. Why should things be different now? Ve'ein almi lahamtin liyois. Ve'ein almi, there's no one else. Lahamtin liyois li li'ezra. There's no one else to hope for other than you. The same way you helped me, then you'll help me now. We've got through this. Okay, the government has issued a pretty heavy gezera this week. Okay, so new. So we've been through, Klal Yisrael in Jewish history has been through a lot worse. Same way they got, the Hashem has been with us in the past. Somehow, we'll get through this as well. How do you see a way out? I don't know. But if Hashem somehow got us out of a lot bigger things.
But maybe now we don't deserve it. How can you say that?
Emuna, no, so there's a balance. You're right. So if you do teshuva, you're right. It has to be a balance. On the one hand, if Hashem says no is no, no is no. But it you should not live with a defeatist attitude. Oh, there's a gezera. Hashem wants this. No, just because if that's going to be at the end and the answer is no, okay, so we accept. But don't let that control you. In the meantime, be mispalel, be positive, be optimistic. Hashem will come through.
And take action.
And of course, do a shtadlus, 100%. 100%. I'm sorry, you're right. Miracles don't happen on their own. You have to do a shtadlus, 100%. You have to do a shtadlus. You know, if a person's on a desert island and he's saying his middle Shemona Esra and there's a helicopter coming to save him, I can't be mafsik. It doesn't work like that. You have to do your hishtalos. That goes without saying. And what gives you the energy? What boosts your energy that there will be salvation? Past experience. And you're not going to know about past experience unless you review past experience. Unless you study history. Unless you have a personal diary. Okay? I'm here promoting over here the value. It is gold. I once tried. Now I'm trying to be mechazik myself. I want to go back and do that. I once had a diary. I used to write a little bit in an app. It was an experience, and I just got lazy. Got to get back to it. It changed. Literally changes your life. It changes everything. It changes your day because you're living with cheshbon, and when you read things back a while ago, it really puts you through a loop. It really puts your mind through a loop, and it totally changes your whole appreciation of life. And every day is a deposit in the bank. When you go to sleep, it's a deposit. Some people they have multiple deposits. Like the people, you go to sleep during the shiur. You go to sleep. You go to sleep after lunch. You go to a nap in the afternoon. There are people who like to go to the bank very often to make deposits. A lot of money. Make deposits. All right, so this is the Mitzvah stuff. We'll see Rashi very quickly. Rashi here is a word that it does not say in the pasuk. Libi, my heart. Where does it say that? I thought that David was giving a dissertation. David was getting up in front of four scores. How did Abraham Lincoln begin his speech?
Four
scores and 7 years ago.
Four
score. Scores how many years?
20.
Anyone use that today in our vocabulary?
What?
The word score. Abraham Lincoln.
Four scores.
Seven years ago.
So.
No, other than quoting Lincoln, no.
No, impossible, right? It doesn't exist. Ki avoni agid libi magid libi bagid. Rashi adds a word. If not for this Rashi, I would assume that David over here is getting up and making a speech. And in fact, the Mitzvah stuff, it says he is giving a speech. He says, Ani bi atzmi agid avoini. And we discussed this when we started. Is it proper for a person to confess his sins publicly? To put out your dirty laundry for the whole world to see? This is a big topic in the Gemara. And the Gemara seems to indicate not so simple. Not necessarily. So the Mitzudis David says, well, this is, in this case, the halacha demands it should be done. Rashi says, no, it does not. You should not reveal your sins publicly to the degree of agid. And Rashi adds in a word that it does not say in the pasuk. He adds the word libi, my heart. This is private, no one's business. When I go and I analyze and I discuss my averos, this is private, no one's business.
Said that also.
No, he didn't say libi.
He didn't say,
I know, it means I confess. It doesn't say in my heart. I volunteer. Ani ba'as means the President of the United States wants is going to give a public statement, a public statement. All the networks should get ready and allocate time from the regular scheduled programming because the President wants to address the nation. And he addresses Rabbi Sai, I forgot to say Al Hamichya today after breakfast. I want to confess. And now we return to our regular scheduled programming.
Impeach.
Right? Our regular. So is that the right thing to do? To go publicize, to put on a webpage all of your sins every single day? I volunteer. Well, it depends. It depends what the sin is, what the situation is. Rashi does not go down that path. Rashi says, libi, in my heart, I am always tormented. Libi magid lias avoni ulufchili for ani doig. I worry v'yorei mechatosit shelo yigrim li tsela. And therefore, I am afraid that because of my sins, it's going to cause me to limp. It's going to cause me, Hashem's going to punish me. I'm going to suffer physical pain. I'm going to suffer spiritual pain. Agmas nefesh. Pasuk chaf, chayim otsemu. My enemies have a mighty life. What does a mighty life mean? What does that mean? Otsemu means might. A life of mightiness. Otsemu. It's a hard word to translate. So Rashi says, ma'atzimim, they excel with power regarding chayim life, bishalom, with the condition of peace and uvitoiva. Hard words to translate. We'd spend time on this. Next. Verabu vihigdilu soinai, my enemies are successful. And what is their foundation? How did they get to where they are today? What is the core of their ideology, which brings them together to be successful? It's a lie. It's all built on a big lie. Al devar shoker. Pasuk of Aleph tachas roitfi toiv bishvil shanachnu dveikim ba'akadosh baruch hu uvemitzvosav. So he has a whole new pshat than when I told you in the second part of the pasuk. First, it says "Umshalmei ra tachas tayva." Okay, that's pretty straightforward, I believe. Then, when it says "Yistinuni," my enemies hate me. So over here, anti-Semitism, all the flavors of anti-Semitism. This pasuk in Tehillim is a very important chapter in the book of anti-Semitism. Okay, we always like come back to this topic. There are many reasons why they hate us.
Jewish anti-Semitism.
There are many, many different. Go talk to the ADL. To the ADL, do they know about this pasuk?
Oh,
do they know about this pasuk? I doubt it. Not today's ADL, that's for sure. Tachas, it says here, the reason for anti-Semitism, at least one variety. Tachas, rotfi, toif. You know why they hate us? Because we pursue good. It's not just we're good. That's not enough for them to hate us. It's we're pursuing it. We're seeking it. We're running. We're chasing after toif, bishvil, and Rashi explains the words a little bit differently. Bishvil shanachnu deveikim. He takes the word roitfi. He translates the word rodfi. We cleave. Shanachnu deveikim b'akadosh baruch hu v'mitzvosav. That's why they hate us. We're dovek. V'atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayoyim. Because of that pasuk, that's why they hate us. We're dovek. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his mitzvahs, which is the translation of the word to pursue toiv. Toiv is called toiv. That's why they hate us. Okay, that ends the Rashi. Now, okay.
If they hate us, there's got to be a reason. Just because we want to be good, why should they hate us for that?
Because it makes them look bad.
It exposes them.
Because it's something spiritual. There are many reasons for anti-Semitism. The encyclopedias. There are libraries. Why do they hate us? You'll go on Amazon. There'll be probably 1,000 books discussing the root cause of hate. of hate, and then the hate of a Jew. Why do they hate Jews? It's very complicated. There are many different dimensions. What better to study than a goy or some Harvard? You go to a big professor, a psychologist, he'll give you a course on anti-Semitism. I have no doubt every Ivy League college probably have a course in anti-Semitism, the root causes of hate, of hating the Jews. What's wrong with Rashi? Rashi knows a lot more than all these professors put together many times over. And Rashi says one element of hate for a Jew is this pasuk. David said it all. David says it's because we pursue toif, which means we're doveik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'mitzvos. This is something that the goyim, the umayis olam, cannot deal with. Now, it needs a little bit more explanation. Har Sinai, why is it called Har Sinai? Sina, because Hashem, that was the moment of truth. V'hiyisem li sigula. Hashem made us, that is his parsha. Hashem made us as Hashem ha'emarta hayoyim. Okay, Hashem has selected us on this day to be his nation. Okay, and the goyim, they could have had a chelik in this. They chose not to. They're jealous. Okay, it goes on and on and on. But here at least is a starting point. Okay, it's already pretty late. We're going to have to stop over here now because it's late. Okay, we'll stop now. Next week, we're probably just going to have to go weiter. We're probably just going to go. We have to move to the next mizmar. Lamites. There's more to discuss here, but we got to move on. Lamites. Take a short break.